Quality sleep is essential. That's why the Sleep Number Smart Bed is designed for your ever-evolving sleep needs. Need a bed that's firmer or softer on either side? Helps you sleep at a comfortable temperature? Sleep Number Smart Beds let you individualize your comfort, so you sleep better together. J.D. Power ranks Sleep Number number one in customer satisfaction with mattresses purchased in-store. And now, save 50% on the Sleep Number Limited Edition smart bed for a limited time. For J.D. Power 2023 award information, visit jdpower.com/awards. Only at a Sleep Number store or sleepnumber.com.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Hello, everyone. Welcome to Red Men TV. Liverpool take on Crystal Palace at Anfield this weekend. Chris Pajak, John Machen and Tom Dutton join me for this one. Chris, Hodgson, Roy. Well, no.
Yes.
No, we've made our I've made my peace with Roy Hodgson. I vowed never to be horrendously disrespectful to him after the job that Crystal Palace did on Man City earlier on in the season.
Not enough for me.
I mean, look, he teeters. I'll be perfectly honest. He teeters on the brink at any given moment. All joking aside, and not really, because we'll doubtless go big on Hodgson again many, many times throughout the show. He did do us a massive favour against Man City. It was a real bolt from the blue, that win.
He needs to do us another favour and then I'll forgive him.
Exactly. That should be...
Roll over and let us dick them.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, look, if nothing else, that should be fair warning to us about this game, is that we're looking at this clutch of fixtures and kind of hoping that we're just going to get through, we're just going to get back into the habit of just winning games and what have you. The proof is there. You look at Crystal Palace, there's nothing there to suggest really that Liverpool should have a great deal of problem with them at Anfield, etc., etc. However, they went and got a very, very good result.
Yeah, they did, and they will do that, but you've mentioned it on the notes there. They are where they are by beating teams that are worse than them, generally speaking. Now, obviously, Man City aren't worse than them, and they got a result there.
Dad, Milner, likely to play right back. I know Trent's out for a month, but hopefully less than that, but he's definitely out for the weekend. I think I'm right in saying this, David Maddock had kind of intimated that Klopp's okay with the Milner thing because he really likes James Milner, and I think we're starting to see when we change the 4-2-3-1, Milner doesn't really suit any, you know.
He's still not played in it, I don't think.
Yeah, or at least not. I don't
We've
think
shifted
found.
To a three when I think he's come on the field.
Yeah, or he's played, you know, he's played
might
in
be 5 minutes or something.
Yeah.
I mean, he's fine. He can play full back, no problem. So it's not a big deal. I think it's a big deal in the long term. I certainly don't want Milner covering for our two fullbacks. You know, I think we need to buy fullbacks to cover. You know, so but that's obviously for the summer.
Yeah.
But you know, now Milner's fine.
But particularly given where we're at, and you know, he was asked, I think, in the press conference of the week about the importance of Milner. And it's not like he, you know, just having someone there who carries that gravitas and at that weight. It's not like he sat down, he's got his own little office, and there's a queue of everyone absolutely bricking it in the squad who were just taking turns to go with for Milner counselling sessions. But he clearly likes him. He clearly likes that influence. And look, he's there on merit, Milner, isn't he? But at the minute, is he a better option for the midfield two than a Henderson, a Fabinho?
If you're gonna play, you know, your choice at right back must be Fabinho or Milner, you would have thought.
Possibly Camacho.
And you know, yeah, possibly Camacho. But I mean, Fabinho for me needs to be playing in midfield. Yeah. You know, you need to capitalise on that and build on what he's done so far. And you know, we all know what Jimmy Milner gives us. So, you know, leaving him, you know, fullback.
Just going back to your point earlier on, you know, about his influence and stuff. Remember those videos from the first day of pre-season when Naby Keita's running around and they're doing the laps and James Milner just has them all off?
Yeah.
And you've got to be looking and going, this lad's won the league twice, I think I'm right in saying. Okay. And he's older than all of us. And he's first day of pre-season, he's blitzing Naby Keita, who we've just signed for 50 million on the laps of Melwood and stuff. And you've got to go, this lad's done it. This lad knows what kind of hard work you've got to put in to go and win a league title. That is a thing.
In addition to that, you've got a guy who's putting that in. It makes sense to find a place for him in the team off the back of that, because
he'd be there on merit as well.
Exactly, you know, and this is the point with Milner. Maybe where we're at, though, in terms of the formation, because I don't think we have a better option, really, at right-back, do we? Everyone can say Fabinho, but I think my dad's dead right on that. Fabinho is shown real signs, Tom, of being better and better. The more he plays, the better he gets for us. We can see his versatility, and Chris and I are going to discuss this in more detail about him on the podcast this week. But he, at the minute, because of where we're at in terms of injuries, who would you, your choice, would you rather have Milner in midfield and Fabinho right back? Or
for me, you look at the options we've got. It's Milner, it's Fabinho, it's Camacho. Mm-hmm. If you're looking at all of them, we don't know what Fabinho's game is at right back in terms of an offensive sense. Mm-hmm. You don't know what it is. Defensively, I'm sure he's brilliant.
Yeah.
Fantastic. Camacho, in an attacking sense, you know, he's brilliant. He likes to maraud up the right wing that we need him to do in that position. Defensively, bit suspect at Wolves, albeit in a makeshift defence. You look at Milner, he did it for us at left back for the longest time, and he was a massive influential part of that team. I think in terms of an attacking sense, he's brilliant in terms of passing with the ball at his feet, brilliant. He knows where he needs to be in this team, in this shape. He knows where he needs to be in terms of cover, because he covers for Robbo at his left back, mm-hmm. but he covers for Robbo all the time when Robbo's all the way up there. He is the perfect makeshift person in there, but like John says, you can't be relying on this. But then we're getting Gomez back soon, yeah. So Gomez is going to slot it right back.
If he's our third choice right back, then yeah. That's a wonderful situation, or a third choice, second to third choice left back, because what he does in that position, he does largely what Trent does, or he has the ability to do what Trent does, because he's got a great delivery on him, he's got a great intelligence, he's got great calmness on the ball, he's got a good range of passing. He maybe is just Trent, but slower. You know, that's maybe what you're losing out on. That is the only area of concern when you come against Crystal Palace, Chris, is that we've seen Trent struggle and be targeted to Haas, causing him problems. Just having that sheer pace, Crystal Palace would probably be not rubbing their hands together per se, but you know, if fullback's definitely a position where we've been getting targeted, some teams have had joy, some teams haven't had joy. Zaha would fancy himself, I think, up against.
Yeah, he would, but it depends on what type of a game you're going into, doesn't it? I think if Liverpool are on the front foot, it's probably not Milner's job to be covering that space. At that point, it might be a Fabinho's job to be back there, and he's got the pace to be able to deal with that. If Crystal Palace build up, then Fabinho should be over there to help him out regardless, you know what I mean? I can't imagine that Milner will be the one getting caught in a foot race with Zaha, is what I'm trying to say. But if he's further up the field, mm-hmm. someone's job will be there.
There's one thing you know for sure, that Zaha will know he's in a game if he comes up against Milner.
Yeah.
Milner's going to hit him.
He'll be in the stands within 5.
Milner was going to put him in the stands in the first 5 minutes, absolutely, undoubtedly, because he knows that's part and parcel of the job.
How do you reckon they're going to line up, though? Because if you look at how they're going to be lined up against City, it was 4-5-1 with Zaha in the 10. So I'm expecting they're coming to Anfield. We're the second best attack in the league, are we? They're not going to come here and be open as a 4-3-3. I'm not going to expect that.
No,
it's a 4-5-1 that will go to a 4-3-3 encounter.
Max Meyer on the left, and then. But like I say, with City, Zaha was there, and like second half, he was flagging massively. I just don't think he's really.
It's an interesting approach, and again, maybe the fullback thing offers them a modicum of encouragement. They're in a weird position, aren't they? I think they, because they're 14 to 4 points behind Brighton, but this. They're not clear of relegation, but they're clearly better than the teams who are properly mired in the relegation stuff, but they're also not good enough to be at the top end of that middle clutch, because, I mean, literally, they're at the bottom end of the middle clutch of teams. You know, they're 10 points, I think, behind 7th. So that's, you know, there's a few teams that harbour those ambitions. They're not in amongst it. You're right, though, Chris. It has the ability. I mean, they've played Jordan Ayew up front recently, flanked by Townsend and Zaha, but that's very easily just those guys just come and sit in on the wider side of the midfield, don't they?
Yeah, I think it's great worrying about what Crystal Palace do, and you would have to if you're Jurgen Klopp, but as a Liverpool fan, I'm thinking, you know what, we've got better players, we can build up through the phases, we can attack them, we can score goals against them, and that's our first job.
And they've got Spironi in as well. So just get shots.
Is that the case? Because I saw the Echo made a big deal about this. Like, this, the man who's going to be stopping is the oldest man in the league, is Julian Spironi. Wayne Hennessy came on for Gaither at the, you know, off the bench. So, I mean, neither of them are great goalkeepers, but Wayne Hennessy is one of them, isn't he? That's Spironi, maybe, to some extent, is that. I hear Wayne Hennessy and I go, I should be like, wait, it's Wayne Hennessy in goal. I'm not. I just have visions of men pulling ludicrous saves out of their arse to deny Liverpool. So, I mean,
it was all over the news. I mean, we reported on it yesterday, and I'm guessing that it's from a reputable source. If it was everywhere, but you never know.
Good to see you source the news.
Yeah.
Well,
they were both injured.
Interesting.
So, I mean, the thing about Palace is you can almost throw form out the window. Because they're just an odd team for us, aren't they? Yeah. You just don't know whether they're going to give us a game or they're going to roll over.
Dad, they've only scored 20 goals in 22 in the league this season.
And three against
City. They scored three of them against Manchester City. Mm. Tells you that everything. So
you couldn't get them to score those goals again if you saved your life. Well, you know, Townsend's goal was like one in a million years.
But that's Townsend all over, isn't it? And that's what they've got. We were talking about it yesterday in conversation where we were talking to a Palace fan, as you're saying. Zaha's not in great goal-scoring form at all. You've got Christian Benteke, who's coming back now. We know what his goal-scoring performance has been like. We know as much about him as you can know about a player, really.
What we don't know is why he always scores against us and no one else.
Well, yeah. Hopefully that was, you know, predominantly for Aston Villa, of course. But they shouldn't be able to do these things. But the Man City game is exactly what I'm talking about. They've got lads. Andros Townsend is the perfect example of a lad who you cannot legislate for, because he can just pick a ball up on his weaker foot and blam it in the top bin, and you're a goal behind.
He's one of those guys you don't know what his weaker foot is.
Well, exactly.
Yeah. You know. And defensively against City, he was fat. Once he'd scored that goal, obviously it bolstered him. Him covered him for Wan-Bissaka on that right hand side. He was unbelievable. Stopped pretty much anything City wanted to do.
Palace is one of Klopp's early games where it went awry, wasn't it? And he was livid at it. And I don't think he ever forgot
it. That was one where he talked about it, when everyone left early, when we were getting beaten. He never felt so alone and all that stuff. So
He did say a few choice words about them, didn't he? So I don't think he's under any illusions about what's going
to
happen. So.
You'd like to hope. And we've been lucky in so much, because that Liverpool, we haven't been undefeated. We've lost games in every competition that we've played in. Losing games in the cups though seems to have given us a little bit of a kick up the arse along the way, because the Man City game can always go either way. But you'd like to hope that little flutter that we had with the Wolves game was enough to make everyone know. You just can't afford to take your eyes off the ball.
No, but we've been so good at home, haven't we? I think there's a confidence that we carry now. You know, Anfield truly is a fortress. Again, teams fear going there, and teams play differently against us when we're at Anfield and when we're at their place. And I think rightfully so. I think, you know, we've dominated teams from start to finish in most of the games, going up near 70% possession against a lot of teams in this league. And, you know, we are imposing our will, not just on the teams that we play, but on the league as a whole right now. You know, we've only had poor results against any of the top five, six, four, maybe, is it?
Yeah.
You know, Chelsea, Manchester City.
Was it that we're unbeaten against the bottom of the 16, is it?
We're not just unbeaten, we've beaten them all.
Yeah.
And that's the big difference now, isn't it? And every team's coming into Anfield and going, how do we get out of here with a point? Because it's so difficult. Yeah. And we might talk about Crystal Palace and all of their great points that they've got and great players that they've got, but they're going in fearing us. And that is an advantage
in terms of Roy Hodgson's mentality, you can't see any world other than them doing everything in their power to stop us from scoring a goal. This, for me, I mean, we'll do score prediction, but this has got that game. This game has got so many games over down the years. We've seen this, you Stokes and whatever you wear. If we get a couple of early goals, I think we can absolutely wipe the floor with them. If not, we're going to have to be patient, and it might be a bit more like Brighton. It might be like those games at Huddersfield last year.
The beauty of us this season is that it doesn't seem to phase us if we don't score early.
Yeah, yeah.
We miss loads of chances, and we still carry on. And that word mature came out last week against Brighton. Suddenly people are saying, oh, this team actually are really difficult to beat. Mm-hmm. And not just that, they're patient, they'll yeah. wait, and then they'll score, and they'll steal the 3 points off.
Yeah, absolutely. You know. Right, we're going to do preferred 11s in a second. Before we do, let's have a little look at a fantastic piece of content that went up on the redmentv.com this week. It's Chris sat down in the ultimate crossover with the Anfield Raps and Neil Atkinson on the Newsroom podcast.
But these things are all, it's all on, as I say, it's all on like one large graph, but I think that that's what's at the core of all this. And then it becomes, we don't want you enjoying yourself. And I think there's something else as well with Liverpool, and we need to remember we feel it. We feel it with United, in that there's a huge number of supporters around the country who had childhoods ruined by how good Liverpool were.
Yeah.
And our childhood was ruined by how good United were.
Yep.
So when you see United, if United right now were 4 points clear at the top of the Premier League, you, me, we'd be thinking, oh no, here we go again. And that's exactly what's happening with us. So when we think, well, why isn't everyone wanting us to do, well, there was the Henry Winter piece about everyone should be behind Liverpool. Liverpool are doing this and Liverpool are doing this. And they're a club that's connected to the community and they seem like good lads and they're playing really good stuff and they're up against this Man City side that are a behemoth now.
Cheating.
Yeah. why isn't everyone behind Liverpool? The reason why is because everyone has a thing somewhere where they're thinking, if they win one, they can win three. If they win one, they can win three, and we can't stop them.
I get that, but is this passed down through generations then? Because a lot of, you know, social media isn't our age.
No, no.
You know what I mean? They can be, I don't know how old a lot of people are on social media.
Because it is football, the way you think about football, I do think that there is always something in the line about football DNA. Yeah, of course it's passed down. Of course it's there, it's present. It's not just the idea that people sort of saying stuff. It's this sort of folk memory. There's a really good story. Remember when Rush went to Newcastle?
Yeah.
And my lad who was in our school was at the game, and he was at the game with his brother, his older brother, and his older brother was 15 years older than him. And it was 60 minutes on the clock, and he said, and he went, tell you what, Rush has been quiet. And his older brother went, don't say that. Don't you say that. And then Rush turns, scores, Newcastle win 1-0. And he said his older brother was livid with him. Like, how dare you tempt the footballing gods of Ian Rush like that? I've lived a lifetime of putting up with this, and you've just said Rush is quiet. You never say Rush is quiet.
You can think it, but never verbalise.
Yeah.
Yeah, you can get involved with that show and everything else that we've got going on. It is just £5 a month. There's a whole a host of content in terms of visual and in podcast form as well. We actually had a little bit of feedback and stuff, and it turns out loads of people are getting on the uptake on the podcast stuff. So obviously, predominantly known for being video, for being YouTube and what have you. We've got that. We've got that in spades. But again, if you need to pick up where you left off and go and get and listen to it in podcast form, you can do that stuff as well. It is free for the first month as well. So if you want to go and try it out, you can do. Get the full Newsroom podcast, get interviews with Liverpool players and managers, past and present, and every aspect of Liverpool Football Club covered top to bottom.
Quality sleep is essential. That's why the Sleep Number Smart Bed is designed for your ever-evolving sleep needs. Need a bed that's firmer or softer on either side? Helps you sleep at a comfortable temperature? Sleep Number Smart Beds let you individualize your comfort, so you sleep better together. JD Power ranks Sleep Number number one in customer satisfaction with mattresses purchased in-store. And now, save 50% on the Sleep Number Limited Edition Smart Bed for a limited time. For J.D. Power 2023 award information, visit jdpower.com/awards. Only at a Sleep Number store or sleepnumber.com.
Hey there, it's Michelle Norris. I'm host of a podcast called Your Mama's Kitchen. When I travel, I'm usually looking for a way to find a taste of home when I'm not at home. And one of the things I love to do when I am at home is entertain. And Airbnb allows me to do that. When I was in California recently, I rented a house that had a great kitchen. And when we were sitting around the table, we're all thinking, we're in someone else's house. Someone could be in all of our homes as well. If you have a home, but you're not always at home, you have an Airbnb. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
One size fits all seemed like a good idea for clothes.
Nice dress.
It's a t-shirt.
Until you tried it on. Same goes for your healthcare. That's why United Healthcare offers a variety of flexible, budget-friendly coverage for medical, vision, dental, and more. So whether you're between jobs, coming off a parent's plan, or even missed open enrollment, you can find the plan that fits you best. Find out more about United Healthcare coverage at uh1.com. That's uh1.com.
Preferred 11s, once again.
Short segments?
short seconds, we've all gone for the same team again. Tom, for the sake of just being, you know, it needs to go up on the screen. We'll get your wonderful smile and face up there and the team. I mean, the goalkeeper picks himself. Yeah. I think we're all judging this on that Matip was on the bench. He's likely to be available. And knowing that Gini Wijnaldum's out injured, it makes sense, Matip, to come back into this, Fabinho to go back into the midfield.
Yeah, the only thing really is Keita. Everyone else, this is the lineup. But like, Milner's got to go right back, Matip back in at centre back because you want a centre back at centre back, and Fabinho slots back in the midfield. I've done Shaqiri, Firmino, Mane, Salah as my four, but I wanted to get Keita in there for some reason. I really want to see him playing, but then I don't like seeing him on the left. I want to see him centrally, but you can't take Firmino out of this team. Yeah. You just can't do it because he's been so instrumental the past few games, and I don't want to stop that. I was contemplating a 4-2-2-2, but it's kind of the same anyway. But like, put Mane on the right and then Keita on the left, but then they both come centrally while the two wingers. And then,
it's an interesting thing, though. That becomes the question, doesn't it, Chris? Of who if you bring Keita in, he still hasn't established himself in a 4-2-3-1, so we still don't know what the best option is. You're compromising a bit of something. You're compromising maybe a bit of stability if you put him in the two. Maybe that's a decent point, because we might not need that in this game if they're gonna sit back in. And again, you're gonna take Mane out of the team to put him on the left. No, you're gonna take Shaqiri out of the team. Possibly.
The only option I see it is, you know, actually, funnily enough, me and Simon Brundish were having a chat on Twitter yesterday about a few things, and you know, the difference between Liverpool and how they attack and Manchester City. And I come back to it, and I think I said this probably a couple of months ago, is I'd like to see Keita in a three-man midfield, but very much a two and a one.
Okay.
So not as far forward as Roberto Firmino plays in that 10, running into that space in the way that Bobby runs back towards the ball. Mm-hmm. Because I think that would give us the closest thing we've got to when Ox was in the side. Yeah. You know, a guy who's willing to break the lines with the ball at his feet. You know, and then in that scenario, Salah goes out to the right, Firmino plays the 9, and you've got Mane over on the left-hand side. And I think you get a little bit of the best of both worlds. Yeah. But I think you need a little bit of freedom as a manager to be able to play this. I don't think it's a Premier League must-win game. I think maybe that would have been tested in a cup competition, or maybe if you think you're playing, with the greatest of respect, Huddersfield at home.
Yeah.
You know, maybe you try something a little bit different. But because they're all so must-win now, I think he just goes with what he knows has been performing, and he's not dicking around.
We're playing at home against a team who almost certainly are going to defend and try and hit us on the break. So You can relax your sort of defensive elements to your game. You don't need extra players in there to give you more strength. Mm-hmm. You need more flair players in there, and therefore Shaqiri, you know, for me, would be nailed on just to add to the forwards.
The only note on that, and I again, we've all picked the same team, but just as a point of note, is that we've seen Shaqiri, we know Shaqiri wanes in games big times, and I'm just wondering whether this might be one where that option that Tom discusses, where maybe put Keita on the left, put Mane on the right, and you've got Shaqiri for the final half an hour. Because alternatively, you know, we might need the full 90 of this one. Again, this might well be one of those games. It shouldn't be, but it might be. And I think I can make a case for, I'd rather Shaqiri enter the game than Keita come into it.
Enter Shaqiri, is that what we're saying?
that band, seeing that they've started retweeting every single time someone makes that reference.
Because it's a terrible joke.
Yeah, absolutely. And also, they want to stay relevant because no one remembers them. What do you think of that, Dan?
Well, I can see it's an option, and clearly we need at some point to get Keita in the side, but I don't know, he's not there yet, so, you know, I don't think the time for experimenting it with your lineup is now.
Okay.
Know.
No, that's fine. We'll take it to heart.
I really would like Keita in the side.
Yeah, cool. Let's have a look at what everyone else is doing this weekend then. Obviously, we're playing Palace 3 p.m. on the Saturday. Also, at that time, I've brought them back into the conversation because
Brighton.
United take on Brighton.
I know they gave us a tough game.
Did you see that picture doing the rounds? Three pictures of Solskjaer, two of them happy, and it's like 6-1-6 on the bounce, blah 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 blah, and then it's still sixth. yeah, the final, the Arsenal Chelsea half five kickoff is very interesting. It's the battle for fourth really hots up
there. Away win.
That's do or die for Arsenal, really. I think in terms of their I think that's last chance.
They've got a few issues off the pitch as well now, haven't they?
It's
serious, like undermining Emery and all kinds of stuff, like at the moment.
Great. But
that technical director, I forget his name, he's gone, hasn't
he? Yeah, he was expecting to have a bit more control than he ended up with. Oh dear, Arsenal, who've put this wonderful structure in place to handle Wenger leaving, and it's all falling apart already. I shouldn't laugh, but I will. In terms of that, I think that's a closed shop for top four. I think if Chelsea pick up the win there, again, unless, you know, the research at Man United continue. Huddersfield, what's interesting about this is, and it's another game week, Chris, where we play ahead of the nearest rivals. However, Man City travel to Huddersfield, managerless Huddersfield.
I think that's got home win wrote all over it, you know. Yeah, I think the players step. I think they're a free score inside now, Huddersfield.
Imagine
like they've been holding them back.
Imagine if he was the Mourinho to the situation. They're going to get back in like...
Moy?
No,
is he still there?
Yeah, he's still there. David Healy. No, he didn't play for them. There's a forward. The forward that they had that I always go that Matt from Bosley's always goes on about, and I can't remember his name for the life of me. But yeah, just get some striker in that they love, and everyone gets mad for it. Fulham host Tottenham in the 4 o'clock kickoff. So our nearest rivals, we get to put the pressure on once again by hopefully getting our 3 points on the board. But they do play the two worst teams in the league.
But then you know, Ryan Babel comes in. And shows that Tottenham should have signed there as a backup striker for Kane.
Just drops in from the Babelcopter to nod one in the last minute, to do that brilliant shimmy he did against, was it Derby County back in the day? He scored an absolute bad goal, and that was the story. Right?
Tottenham
struggled for forwards.
That's a good point. Actually,
only got.
I don't, to be fair, I think Fulham are more likely to cause an upset there than at home. They've obviously got...
It's a derby, isn't it?
Spurs are a little bit thin on the ground. Obviously, you know, Son's gone to the Asian
Shearer's goal was fantastic the other week as well, did you see it?
Yeah.
Unbelievable touching and finish. I'll be honest, I don't care about any of the rival fixtures anymore, because as long as we keep winning our games, I'm not arsed. We're top of the table, and literally all we need to do is win every single game, which we're capable of doing.
I'm
so
glad you never went to him first on the rivals. No, I don't care about the segments.
I'm fine for the world where we get to sit down, have a bit of dinner, and sit down to watch the last half of Fulham battered and Spurs to put them to end their titles and throw them right back into the battle for fourth would be very nice indeed.
Snooker's on though, Paul. Forget about Fulham Spurs.
Yeah, right. What is it?
I don't know what on that day. So
the Masters, the
final, the Masters. On
final on Sunday. There you go. I'm not asked about either of them games.
Oh yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
I like a bit of snooker mainly. Yeah, great. Score predictions, Tom. What do you think it's going to be?
2-0. I think it's honestly going to be nervy for 60 minutes, but we're going to just get it done.
Okay.
1-0.
Okay. I'm going to say 2-0 as well, and I think we scored an early goal for us.
Interesting. I I've got this real feeling that these little spell of games are going to be not like nervy per se, but just not exciting. No, not even that. Just a bit boring, and just, you know, I think we'll probably a 1 or a 2. No, let's go 1-0 as well for the sake of it. Let us know your preferred 11s and score predictions in the comments below. Drop a like on the video, and as mentioned, if you want to get that full newsroom podcast with Neil Atkinson, you can do. Go and sign up to redmentv.com. We shall see you there. Some absolute belter content on there. So yeah, go there, support what we do, and obviously don't ask you for nothing. We give you loads and loads of cool stuff off the back of that as well. Other than that, we'll be back post-match. We hope to see it all there. Thank you very much, gents. It's been an absolute pleasure. Thank you for watching. See you all soon. Ta-da.
Acast powers the world's best podcasts. Here's a show that we recommend.
Hi, I'm Megan Rinks.
And I'm Melissa D. Montz.
And like every other person with access to a microphone, we started a podcast.
On Mondays, we release Don't Blame Me, which is an advice podcast where listeners call in and we share our thoughts on situations such as what to do if you're going to your boyfriend's family function and you haven't told him that you previously slept with both as twin brothers.
Then on Thursdays, we release our podcast, But Am I Wrong?, where we ethically gossip about pop culture, politics, our lives, and your lives. Listeners write in and we tell them if they're wrong or right in a situation. Are you the hero or the villain?
On Tuesdays and Fridays, we throw in a little something extra as well.
A little something, something. We strive to create a community grounded in activism, mental health, and inclusivity. Think of us as like your blunt, honest friends who give you advice that you need to hear, not what you want to hear. But we're also always rooting for your success. What we lack in credentials, we make up for in...
opinions.
We do that in every episode, too.
We're professional unprofessional, so if you're looking for a new slate of podcasts to add to your routine, we're here for you.
Acast recommends.
Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.